Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down between Jew and Gentile to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. And I am so excited about our guests, Ron and Glenda Petty. I'm speaking to them by way of telephone at their home, just outside of Houston, Texas. And I have just finished reading their book, Heaven is Real. And I can tell you, this book has the atmosphere of heaven when it's being read. Ron and Glenda, was it love at first sight on your blind date?
Yes, it was.
Actually, love at second sight. The first few hours, I led him to the Lord, and then after that, he looked pretty good.
Now, just out of curiosity, had you led many people to the Lord before you led your blind date to the Lord?
No, I'm sorry to say. I was a cradle Baptist, and so I had no excuse for that, but the Lord just put the words in my mouth, and it all came out, and Ron was ready to receive. He was so ready.
And Ron had a physical condition called hydrocephalus. What is that exactly, Glenda?
Okay, that is just where spinal fluid was not draining properly through the ventricles in the center of his brain. He had had a blow to the head some years earlier in Vietnam, and it was years later that this condition really surfaced, and the doctors had to put in a shunt, call it a little plumbing, to reroute that spinal fluid.
And I understand that every once in a while that shunt would get out of place, and what would happen?
Right. It would clog. It would malfunction. Many emergency runs into surgery. A number of times, and then in 1982, the shunt developed an infection and had to be replaced. Then in the replacement process, we found out many, many hours later that they had inadvertently placed the new tubing right into a massive blood clot that had not shown up on X-ray.
So if it was in the blood clot, that means that the spinal fluid could not get out of the brain, so I would imagine his head would swell up.
Very swollen really beyond recognition. So the doctors were rushed back in on a Sunday morning to find him in this condition, because the blood clot would not be known for many hours yet. So they were doing emergency surgery to go back in on a Sunday morning. I called friends from across the state, realizing that they would be up on Sunday getting ready to go to church, so that many could be praying for Ron.
And he literally had this emergency surgery, and he died on the operating table. Now, and he had an experience of going to heaven, but it wasn't quite what most people would think, because when he got to heaven, they said his name was not on the scroll. And Ron is going to be sharing a lot about that this week, but Glenda, you told me that Ron gets really emotional about it, and he can't even get the words out. Explain.
He does. He relives this testimony, this experience, every time we share it. We've shared this hundreds of times over the years, but still, every time, he's just there again. It's reliving the experience.
So you jump in when because he's reliving it, he gets so emotional. Well, Ron, when you died, tell me the first thing you remember seeing.
I remember. I knew where I was, and I walked up to this table. Now, I'm going to call it a table because I have no better words. Where I walked up to it, and on this table was this book. I walked up and said, I'm ready to go in. And this person looks at the book, and my name is not there. And I became just really frustrated because I had accepted the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and my name was supposed to be in that book. Why isn't my name in that book? Well, by this time, a person had come out of heaven. Now, I'm not in heaven. I'm in sort of a foyer area. A man comes out of heaven, walks over to the person by the table, and it's all explained to him, and he says, I'll go in and check. Now, he goes into heaven, the actual heaven. I was sort of in the foyer area. He goes into heaven and comes out a little bit later, and
he comes over to Ron and says, he has a report, actually, from there.
He says, not yet your time. You're being sent back, and I'm going with you. Now, this turned out to be my guardian angel. See, I've met my guardian angel face to face. In fact, he came back with me and stayed in the hospital room for several days, a week. I tried to introduce him to everybody that came to visit me in the hospital. And they all just dismissed it as, well, maybe he's had brain surgery, so.
Well, Glenda, what did you think when he said, I want to introduce you to this gentleman in my room?
Right. We were horrified. We knew, we felt like he was hallucinating. He had just finally recovered from the surgery and then was trying to introduce us. And, of course, this is an intensive care, so every 4 hours we have 10 minutes that he's trying to introduce us again. And finally, we would go back out and pray that, please, Lord, let his brain clear, you know. And then finally, we would walk in, and he was not doing that anymore.
But actually, you had quite a report from the doctor that, although it was a miracle, he came back to life. For 10 years, he had amnesia, except for one thing. What was the one thing he didn't have amnesia over?
Well, of course, all of his heaven experience. All of heaven and all of Scripture and all of who Jesus is was in his heart. And we call that really his heavenly memory rather than his physical memory. So he had memory of all of heaven.
Okay, Ron, when they said your name wasn't on the list, what did you say?
I thought they were, well, bottom line, I thought they were crazy. Because I knew I had done everything necessary to get into heaven. And when they finally convinced me that my name wasn't there, I raised such a ruckus that another gentleman came out of heaven, walked over to the table, explained to him what is happening, and he says, I'll go in heaven and check. Now, I'm not in heaven at this point.
Right. However, at the very end, when the second fellow came back, he came over to Ron and he said, it's not yet your time. Your mission's not yet complete. And you're being sent back. At that point, Ron had the most unusual response. He said, I want to see my wife.
I didn't even know I was married because I'm I have no memory.
He wanted to give them a request that he felt like they couldn't fulfill, and they would have to say, okay, you've got us there. Come on into heaven. But instead, the angel just nodded, and he said, okay, that can be arranged.
The first person I remember seeing after, you know, regaining consciousness, it was Glenda. And my guardian angel was right there with me. He pointed and says, here she is. And I thought, wow, thank you, Lord. You picked out a good one for me.
Okay, your ploy did not work, so they're still not letting you into heaven. But they also said, Glenda, that it was because people were praying. Explain.
Oh, yes. That Sunday morning that I got the call from the doctor at 6 a.m., the Lord had prepared me for this, so it was very calm to me. I rushed down to the hospital, and very soon after that, I found phones I could call long distance with. So I'd called several people around the state who I knew would be getting up to go to church that morning. So I knew there would be people praying. And then we just waited. We waited for many, many hours until in the afternoon hours before we had a report. But I knew people were praying. So then as soon as Ron recovered from this, then he told me how he had heard noise in heaven. And then ask, what is all this noise?
At this point, the angel said, this is not noise. These are all intercessory prayers coming up on your behalf. I said, in disbelief. I said, "Oh, you got to be kidding me." And he said, "No, would you like to hear one?" I said, "Yeah, I want to hear one." Because I wanted to get in heaven. I didn't want these prayers interfering me getting into heaven. So one of the prayers was drawn out above all the rest. And it was a dear friend of ours in Port Vaca, Texas. I heard every word he prayed. He was praying at the pulpit. He was a deacon of the week or something like that. And I quoted his prayer word for word.
Here's the deal. When he got back, after he died, when he got back, they had taped that prayer, and you quoted it word for word before you heard the tape. I mean, this is the most phenomenal evidence of the authenticity of this experience.
That's exactly what I did. And I tell you, when I heard the tape, we soon after getting out of the hospital, we drove to Port Vaca, and they had just started recording their messages on tape. And he found the tape. And when we came back to report to Glenda and the rest of the family, we had chill bumps on our arms the size of golf balls because it was just unbelievable.
Oh, I'll tell you what's unbelievable to me. No, it's actually believable, is that same presence you sense on this interview right now. It's the atmosphere of heaven. And that same presence is on their book, Heaven is Real. If you know people that are fearful of dying, if you know people that are concerned, is there really, they're born again even, but they're kind of questioning, is there really a heaven? Well, this is one of the most credible books of an experience of someone that died medically and went to heaven. And if you know people that were their child was aborted or their child died at a young age, this book will just bring you so much peace. And the testimonies they're hearing of people that get born again, that have no fear of dying after reading this book. The title is appropriate. Heaven is Real. And we're making this book available for a donation of $20. Caller right today. Heaven is Real. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.